Save big money on your bathroom update at Menards. Transform your bathroom with a stunning new vanity from Magic Woods. With over 100 options to choose from, our vanities combine contemporary style with durable materials. Find the ideal piece to create the bathroom you've always wanted. From stylish and elegant to simple and modern, save big money on Magic Woods vanities at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all our great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Even after Brian Koberger confessed to killing four college students, one question has never left the public imagination. Why? Because when you look at what happened in Moscow, Idaho, in November of 2022, there is no simple answer, and you're never going to get one. The victims didn't know him personally. They weren't part of a feud with him. They weren't in danger because of the lives they were living. They were just four young people in a college town. And then one night, all at once, they were gone. Months later, in 2025, Koberger quietly scribbled something on a court document that made people stop cold. He was waiving his right to a mental competency hearing. But in the process, he disclosed four diagnoses: autism spectrum disorder, level 1, obsessive compulsive disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and something most people have never, ever heard of, avoidant restrictive food intake disorder, or ARFID. It read like a checklist of his mind. Some saw it as him peeling back the curtain on himself, as if these clinical terms were clues to the violence that he carried out. But here's the truth. Those words may give us insight into who he was, but they don't come anywhere near explaining or excusing the choice to walk into a home at 4 a.m. and end four lives. Let's go back to that night, November 13th of 2022, a rented house on King Road, right next to the University of Idaho campus. Six students lived there. Only four would die. Investigators believe the killer entered around 4 a.m. He moved fast, efficiently, room to room, and by the time he left, Kaylee Gonzalez, Madison Mogan, Zenner Kernodle, and Ethan Chapin were all dead. One roommate later recalled opening her door after hearing noises. She saw a man in a black wearing a mask walking right past her and out the front door. He didn't run, he didn't lunge, he glided past her, almost calm. She froze in place, locked her door, and convinced herself she hadn't really seen what she thought that she saw. By sunrise, the reality was undeniable. Four students, four lives cut short in brutal fashion. For weeks, there were no arrests, no names, just fear and speculation, but investigators were building a case. They had a white Hyundai Elantra on camera circling the neighborhood. They had cell phone records showing someone's phone pinging near the house a dozen times before the murders, nearly all of them late at night. And then there was a knife sheath, tan leather, stamped with a Marine Corps insignia, left behind next to one victim. On it, DNA. That mistake would undo everything. On December 30th of 2022, Brian Koberger was arrested at his parents' home in Pennsylvania. A criminology PhD student from Washington State University, just miles from the crime scene. A man who studied criminal minds, taught classes on policing, and according to prosecutors, spent months planning a massacre. People who knew him weren't shocked. They were unsettled, but not surprised. At WSU, where he worked as a teaching assistant, female students complained he was condescending, dismissive, openly rude. One professor warned colleagues that if Koberger ever became a professor himself, they'd one day be reading headlines about him stalking or harming women. He cornered students in doorways. He relished tears and tearing others down in debates. He gave up off the kind of energy that makes people joke nervously about incels, men who stew in bitterness towards women. Except in this case, the joke didn't feel so funny once the truth actually did come out. Even his high school friends remember the transformation. Back then, Koberger was overweight, bullied, awkward. He fell into heroin use back in his teens, despite It was a desperate escape, rather, to get himself away from the animosity and adversity. He reinvented himself, basically. He dropped the weight, had surgery to remove the excess skin, swapped heroin for control, control over food, over his body, over his image. His friends said it was extreme, punishing, and his personality shifted just as hard. He became aggressive, alpha-like, putting friends in chokeholds to show his strength, belittling them to feel superior. The kid who once felt like nothing decided he would make everyone else feel smaller than him. All of that is a backdrop for the diagnosis he revealed years later. Autism, OCD, ADHD, ARFID, lots of letters. They're clinical terms, but when you lay them alongside his behavior, they do take some color. Let's start with autism level one, sometimes called high-functioning autism. People on this end of the spectrum live independently, succeed academically, even thrive in certain areas, but they may miss social cues, struggle to read emotion, fixate intensely on narrow interests. Think about how people described Koberger: flat, unemotional, detached, awkward in social settings, fixated on criminology with a zeal that went beyond academics. Autism could help explain some of that. And here's the thing. Autism doesn't make someone violent. Studies show people on the spectrum are no more likely to commit crimes than anyone else. In fact, they're more often victims. Millions of people live with autism. They struggle socially sometimes, yes. They feel like outsiders, yes. But they don't break into houses and kill. Some actually create podcasts about murderers. So while autism might have shaped Koberger's demeanor, it doesn't excuse what he did. Then there's the OCD, obsessive-compulsive disorder, not the "I like my desk neat" stereotype, the real thing, intrusive, unwanted thoughts and rituals that temporarily quiet them. For Koberger, control seemed to define everything. His relatives described his eating rules as extreme. He refused to eat food cooked in pans that had ever touched meat. Family had to buy new pots and pans just for him. It wasn't veganism, it was obsession. He studied forensic science like someone preparing for battle, wrote papers on how investigators avoid leaving trace DNA. When he allegedly carried out his murders, he turned to his phone, wore gloves, stalked the house in advance, all the signs of someone compulsively focused on control. But again, OCD doesn't create killers. In fact, most people with OCD fear harming others and go out of their way to avoid it. Koberger's excessive streak might explain his meticulous planning. That doesn't erase the fact that he chose violence. There's ADHD. We think distracted, restless, but ADHD can also mean hyper-focus. Locking onto one thing so completely, you shut out the rest of the world. Koberger's hyper-focus was crime. He lit up when classes turned to the gory details. He was consumed by criminology. Did ADHD make him kill? No! Did it feed Koberger's fixation? Maybe some of that, possibly. But planning a murder weeks in advance, circling the house over and over, covering his tracks, that's not ADHD chaos. That's deliberate. And then you have the ARFID, the least known. Avoidant Restrictive Food Intake Disorder. It's not about body image. It's about fear and control. People with ARFID eat only certain foods, avoid textures, sometimes even fear choking. Koberger's obsessive diet, his rigid rules, his visible anxiety about food, that fits. It tells us how tightly wound he was. How much he needed to control even the smallest details of his life. But ARFID doesn't lead someone to violence. It just shows us the mindset, a man so rigid, so consumed by control that even dinner had to be a battleground. So do those four diagnoses explain Brian Koberger? They explain quirks, yeah. They explain his detachment, his obsessions, his need for control. They may help us understand why people found him so strange and so unnerving, but they do not explain murder. They do not excuse the decision to stalk, plan, and slaughter four young people in their beds. Because here's the truth, millions live with autism, OCD, ADHD, ARFID. They go to work, school, raise families, work jobs, live lives. They do not kill. Brian Koberger is not defined by those labels. He's defined by what he did. And even he knew it. In court, when he pled guilty, he said clearly those conditions, you know, they're part of him. He knew exactly what he was doing. Idaho law wouldn't have let him plead insanity anyway. That's almost beside the point. He didn't try to use these diagnoses as an excuse, although his attorneys did certainly bring them up. He never did go to trial. Ann Taylor at one point did float the autism as a reason to spare him the death penalty, but in the end it didn't matter. The evidence was overwhelming. He took the plea, four guilty counts, four life sentences, no parole. So what's left? Just that question. Why? Maybe that's the hardest part. Because no label, no acronym, no diagnosis will ever give us a satisfying answer. What we're left with is a man who studied evil and chose to embody it. A man who let his darkest impulses out into the world. The diagnoses are footnotes. The murders are the headline. And no matter what was scribbled on that form in court, the reality is simpler. Four promising young lives are gone because Brian Koberger wanted them gone. That's the story. That's the why. It has nothing to do with autism, OCD, ADHD, or ARFID. It has everything to do with choice. A choice that Brian Koberger made, and a choice that Brian Koberger will live with for the rest of his short, pathetic life behind bars. Tell me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube if that's where you're watching us. If not, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and you will find us there. Wherever you're downloading podcasts, press subscribe as well so you don't miss any of our coverage on this and the many cases we got for you right here at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Love to get your thoughts. Let me know. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.